On this episode, we are talking Pearl River County baseball playoffs. Clay Sweet sits down with Ashley Grader talking Poplarville baseball, Jared Rogers talking PRC baseball, and Evan Nicholson talking Picayune baseball. So sit back and enjoy. If you're looking for that quick pick-me-up, a loaded tea, a classic shake, an extreme rebuild post-workout drink, or want to just try something new, stop by and see our friends at Unity Nutrition. They are located at 1417 Armand Drive in Picayune. They are open 7 days a week with dine-in, curbside pickup, in-store pickup, and outdoor seating. Remember, Unity Nutrition offers everything the body needs to get you through the day.
We're now privileged to be joined by Coach Ashley Grader with the Poplarville Hornets. The Hornets in the second round of the 4A playoffs. Coach, got two dominant wins last week against Macomb. Now you roll into the second round of the playoffs. Kind of tell us about the way your club is playing. We had a chance to catch up with you earlier in the season. Tell us how your team's grown and how they're playing here in playoff baseball.
Well, you know, I think we've seen a lot of growth throughout the course of the season. You know, we've learned how to be consistent in a sense, and then also be tough through the trials that you're faced through the season. And I think that was a huge moment for our program, or moments for our program, was just to being in those battles day in and day out with tougher teams, and teams just going to get after you. You know, we had that win, two and a half weeks ago against Oak Forest on a Saturday. And Oak Forest is a good team, and we ended up pulling one out against them. O'Neill had a walk-off hit to win the game, and I thought that was a stepping stone in our program. That was a piece that we could actually see something tangible of growth in the program, of being able to fight through those adversities, being down early and having a comeback win. And, you know, I think we're in a good place. You know, last week was what it was. You know, we knew we were playing a lesser opponent. We didn't take them for granted by no means. You know, my challenge to them was to come in and take care of business and move on, you know, and not take anybody for granted, but play the game and play the game the right way. And, you know, we got a tough team. We got a tough team ahead of us as far as Forest County. Now, I know we had some wins against them early in the season. I think it was 9-1 and 17-3, but they're playing a lot better. And, you know, they're a dangerous team. They're gritty. They're going to fight for seven innings. And it showed the other night when they beat Northeast Jones. They just kept pushing and kept pushing until they overcome. And I'm telling you, they're not a joke. They're not a team to take lightly. Like, they're going to be tough. They're going to be gritty. So,
Coach, you talk about it. Normally, you know, outsiders think, well, kids aren't going to be distracted as playoff baseball, but these are 15, 16, 17-year-old knuckleheads. So how do you kind of convince them what you're talking about there? Hey, you may have beat this club earlier in the year, but if you're not locked in, our season can come to an end.
Well, I had a talk with them yesterday, just kind of a refocusing moment to start the week, or to kind of carry on through the week. I said, look, you know, Forest County, we did beat them twice, you know, and I mentioned the scores, but they just put out a 21-5 team.
Sure.
They just put out a 21-5 team. So don't think that they're anybody we can take lightly. So what we did was, you know, obviously we're playing Forest County, but we're not going to focus on the team that we're playing. We're going to focus on our preparation to play the game. So yesterday, you know, we set up a situation where each kid drew a name out of a hat, and whatever name they drew, they had to push that teammate all day to get better in some facet or all facets. Don't let him take a rip off. Don't let him walk on the field. Don't let him be slow in his transitions between drills, to be exactly like be as locked in as possible. And that's what we're going to do for the next 2 days. Well, yesterday, today, and tomorrow is we're going to focus on being focused for every rep and being so prepared that we don't take a pitch off, as we've done all year, but this is more of like a refocusing moment leading into the series, because I've been telling them, and you know, a couple of kids went to the Northeast Jones Forest County game. It came down to 2 to 3 pitches for that 4 to 2 ball game. And that's what I've been telling them. I said, as it gets narrower, as the gap gets narrower, those pitches that dictate the win or loss of a game becomes less. And it's going to come down to 1 pitch, 2 pitch, 3 pitches. It's going to. And if we end up making it through this round, and I would say that we got a potential to see Summerall, that gap's going to be even smaller.
Sure.
You know, this gap's going to be even smaller. And that's just what good baseball does. It creates a smaller gap, and you've got to execute that moment, not the next moment, that moment, or you've lost. And so we're just trying to stay focused as a whole. We're trying to stay together as a whole. And we got to understand that nothing's given. Nothing's given in baseball. And how you go about your work and how you prepare is everything. So that's just kind of where we're at right now, is just focusing on our preparation and being locked in.
Coach, we talked earlier in the year off the record. I guess we were standing around I was watching junior high baseball. You were actually getting ready to take on Pass at your place as that junior high game took place. And you mentioned another element of, I'm going to call it peer pressure in a positive way, but teammates holding folks accountable. You just did it there again. What coach or what program kind of have you stolen that from? Where it's not you and your staff basically holding these guys accountable, but you're putting a burden on teammates to hold one another accountable. Where have you kind of taken that from?
Well, I've just kind of grabbed bits and pieces from successful programs around. I mean, you know, I haven't really drawn it exactly from Coach Avalon, but I guarantee you, if you ask him, he's going to say that, look, when the team's player-led, has got a chance to be really good.
Sure.
And you know, a lot of times, and when we think about this as coaches, we try to motivate them, we try to push them as a coach, but at the end of the day, when you're at this point of the season, sometimes words are just words coming out of your mouth as a coach. But when you've got a teammate that's been in the grind with them right next to them and they're saying the same thing, sometimes it just hits different. Kind of like coaching your son and coaching another kid. Sometimes your son don't really listen to you as well
yeah.
as that other kid.
Sure.
But if you know, someone else says the same thing you said to your son, he might attain it a little differently, and it might be a different motivational point. But you know, it's just kind of as you look through the programs that are successful, you know, year in and year out, and there's some pieces that every one of them holds, and that's one of them is accountability. One of those characteristics is that team being able to hold their teammates accountable and then also be able to be held accountable by their teammates. And it's, you know, it comes around to chemistry and all those different things. So I don't know if it's exactly one individual I've drawn it from. It's just more of like been able to just kind of gather it over the years of being with Coach Walter, being around Coach Avalon, being around successful programs that all have those characteristics that are similar.
Coach, when you look at, and I hate to sound like an old person, but our world these days really doesn't like accountability, especially from our peers, which is a shame, really. But you talk about toughness. That's certainly going to sharpen toughness within a program, huh?
Oh, yeah. And look, you know, maybe I'm not saying this is the right way. I'm just saying this is the way we went about it. But whenever your teammate says you didn't work hard enough for the team today, that's a gut punch.
Sure.
And not many kids like that. And, you know, there's two ways of handling it. Either you know, woe is me, or you say, you know what, you're right. And the ones that say, you know what, you're right, and I got to work harder, they get better, and they make the team better. And that's the ultimate goal at the end of the day.
Coach, if y'all were to continue to get better and continue to progress through these playoffs, what are one or two things on the field that you'd like to see either continue to do or maybe change about your club and the way they've gone about it so far? Could you give us one or two kind of keys moving forward for the Hornets?
Yeah, I think the two emphasis that we've got to get better at, and we've worked on, we're just not there yet, is we've got to be more in the zone as pitchers. We've got to give ourselves a chance. You know, we've got to throw more competitive pitches throughout the game. You know, we can't have big misses and then try to get back in the zone. We've got to have competitive pitches, whether they miss by a little or they're a quality breaking ball in the dirt. That's number one. And number two, we've got to play small ball better. We've tried many, many times this year, and we've succeeded. And when we succeed, it opens the door to a whole new game for us. But when we don't, sometimes we end up lulling through those innings, especially when you got a tough arm on the mound. You can't expect high school hitters to be really good against 88, 91. All day, every day. It's just not going to happen. And so as we get deeper in these rounds, we're going to run into those guys. Say we see Sumrall. Sumrall's got a guy.
Yeah.
Probably sure. Even two, you know. And so he's going to be running it up there. Well, we can't expect to sit up there and bang 88, 90 all day long around the park. We're going to have to be able to execute in the small game. And that's just what it's going to be. If we can do that, that'll be a separation point to being able to overcome those things. It just is what it is. So I would say we got to be more competitive on the mound with our pitches, and we've got to play small ball better.
Coach, some listeners, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but when they look at a strike zone or they look at even pitching ahead, even if you've pitched ahead, you still need to make a competitive miss, if you will, even if you're up 0-2 in a count or in a 1-2 count. Can you kind of walk our listeners through what you're describing there with a competitive miss, a pitch where a batter doesn't just get to totally take the pitch off?
Sure. Just say, for instance, we got a batter in two strike count. Say it's 1-2, 0-2, somewhere in there, somewhere where we're still ahead by a large margin. When we're trying to throw in to move his feet, we're not hitting him, number one. We're throwing him in to move his feet a little bit, so just in off the plate. Or if we elevate a fastball, it's not over the top of their head. Because both of those pitches are set up pitches for what's coming next. If you throw a fastball in and hit him, you don't get to that next pitch. Right? You throw that fastball just in to move their feet. Now that breaking ball away is open. Or a fastball away, something to change in, out. And then as far as up, down, you throw it over his head. You didn't give him that pitch that's like a borderline up that A, he might chase, and B, sets him up to come out of that same tunnel for a breaking ball. So it's just more or less keeping your pitches in that same tunnel that you can, you know, I guess, fool the hitter or make the hitter make adjustments through that same tunnel, whether it be breaking ball, changeup, breaking ball, changeup, fastball. And then, two, let's be honest, an umpire that sees a pitcher miss 4 inches off all day long, he starts getting those pitches.
Mm-hmm.
But a pitcher that hits 4 inches off this pitch, and then all of a sudden he throws it in the backside of the left-handed batter's box the next pitch, and then it's up and in on the next pitch, he's not going to get those pitches because he's erratic.
Right.
But if he can stay there and just work and groom that outside corner or wherever the location is, if he can stay there relevant to those 17 inches, he'll start getting them. He will.
No, great point, Coach. Coach, continued success, man. We appreciate you taking time for us, and good luck in the second round.
All right, Clay. Thanks for calling, man. Y'all take it easy.
Thank you, Coach.
Fred's Westside Pharmacy is a family-owned business that has been serving Picayune for over 30 years. They offer light, durable medical equipment for patients, such as diabetic testing supplies, walkers, canes, and more. They are open 9 to 5:30 Monday through Thursday, 9 to 4:30 on Fridays, and 9 to 12 on Saturdays. If you can't make it into the pharmacy, just call in your prescription and they will deliver it for free. They also offer curbside services if you're sick, have a car full of kiddos, or just in a hurry. Fred's Westside Pharmacy is located at 207 Kirkwood Street. Stop by or give them a call today at 601-798-8888. The friendly staff at Fred's Westside Pharmacy will be waiting to serve you.
We're now joined by interim head coach of the Pearl River Central Blue Devils, Jared Rogers. Jared, thanks for taking time. I know it's a busy week and prepping for West Harrison, but thanks for taking time for the podcast.
Yes, no problem.
Jared, when you look at it, you go into the first round of the playoffs, you've earned a one seed, have the Blue Devils going to take on a scrappy and tough West Harrison ball club. Let's start there. How do you kind of see this matchup and tell us kind of what you know about West Harrison and what you know about your club?
Yes, West Harrison, they're a tough team. They're two coaches. They actually coached me in when I played ball at St. Martin at Greg Williams and David Morris, and I know that they're gonna coach it the right way. Their teams in the past have been very offensive, and that is tough. You know, every team down there is tough, and you know it's gonna be a fight when you play them. So.
Coach, when you look at it, you're in a unusual situation. Normally when an interim coach comes in, the record may not be as good as this is, but you're commanding and leading a team that has a brilliant record, number one in district plays, earned that one seed. Kind of tell us your mindset of taking over late in the year. I guess you've been the interim coach for about 10 days, around 2 weeks. Tell us what your mindset's been trying to lead this group.
It's just one day at a time. Obviously, this week has been different because we're used to playing on Tuesdays, but just winning the day. Like today, not worrying about Friday, just having a great day at practice and just trying to get a little bit better, kind of compete and, you know, keep our kids sharp for Friday night.
Coach, last time I was talking about Pearl River Central Blue Devil baseball, it was with Darby McCraney, and we talked a lot about the speed in this lineup. Kind of tell us about your lineup, the speed that's there, the stolen bases throughout the season, some guys that are going to get on and then, of course, get themselves over with or without the bunt. But let's talk about your lineup first, and then we'll turn around and look at your pitching staff and that potential rotation for West Harrison. But let's start with the bats. Any guys you'd like to highlight, Coach Rogers, or just your offensive philosophy as a whole?
For the program stance, we've pushed, just putting pressure on folks, applying pressure, and when you can run, you can really do it. We've had some senior leadership offensively through Esaias Ryan, Jake Johnson, Riley Wilson, and Connor Dice. They all just, man, when your seniors can lead, it really, you know you're going to have a good team. You know you're going to be able to compete. And our senior leadership offensively is just, it's been huge, especially for our young guys. And those guys know how to play the game. They know how to run. They know how to steal a bag or when to move a guy up. So we're blessed for sure to have those guys leading offensively.
Coach, when you've been put in a situation like you have interim late in a year, how important is it for you personally to be able to lean on those seniors that you just spoke of?
It's huge. You know, you're as good as your players. I've always believed that. And when your seniors and your upperclassmen, when they lead, it is it's a breath of fresh air because they're playing the game. We can prepare them. We can put them in situations, but when that leadership's there, they kind of take a hold to the game and run the show, and it's definitely a blessing to have them.
Coach, you just said, you know, you're as a coach, you're as good as your players. Many times in baseball, it can be said, as a team, you're as good as your pitching staff. This is a pretty good staff that the Blue Devils have. Talk to us about the pitching philosophy going in to West Harris and the pitching you've gotten all year from this really good group of arms that you can run out.
Yes. I'll tell you, we've thrown a lot of strikes. We've talked about Coach Fazan's really pushed just no free passes. I mean, it's going to happen. We're going to hit people. We're going to walk people. That's part of baseball. We got to overcome that. But going right at folks and making them be offensive, making them hit the ball, and getting Jake Johnson back was a huge plus. He filled it up and had a great outing last week. And Connor Dias has done excellent. We've leaned on him all year, and kind of gives Jake, having Jake back, gives Connor a breath of fresh air just to play more defense and maybe come in a different role. Roman Mitchell has done excellent. He's grown up so much and has gave us some starts, some big time starts, and has won. And we have a couple more guys that have just, when we've called their name, they've answered the bell. It's just, I think we've had 9 or 10 different people with appearances, and we're definitely a positive.
Coach, when I look at it, and I'm leaning on Max Preps, which is sometimes a bit dangerous, but you could correct me if I'm wrong, but this team ERA looks to be sub 2, which is just, just remarkable. That's, of course, really good numbers. And what you're speaking to, the innings pitched, when you look at the walk category, it's way down there. And then when you pair that with the strikeouts, all really good numbers to look at. How important, Coach, you talked about throwing strikes, but in a high school game, not to give up those free passes is so pivotal, right?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. I think the college number, like a leadoff walk, I think the college number is like 85% or something like that, guys going to score. So, like, just going at them and, like, putting that pressure on them. Like, if we can throw strikes, we feel like we got a shot. And that's, in high school baseball, that's the name of the game, because hitting's just too hard. But, we've pushed it, just strikes, filling it up, and they've done well. They've done that, and they gave us a shot when they pitched. So,
talk about the development, Coach, of Ryan as a baseball player. I got to see him, a year ago. He relied heavily on his off-speed pitch, but he's become an all-around pitcher and player for the Blue Devils. How fun's that been, able to watch him develop?
It's been awesome. I'll tell you, talking to Isaias, he will definitely impact your life, and it'll make you realize how blessed you are. I think his main factor is he will absolutely fight you. He will compete offensively. He will compete. He's a team guy. He's going to fight you in the box, on the mound. He's the same exact way. Just an all-around competitor and a very humble kid. And it's a blessing just to be around him. I think it kind of sets the tone for our whole team. Just having him out there, how much energy and how electric he is, just as a player.
Coach, on that same note, and I guess that same household, let's look over at Dice, the benefit that he has, and maybe he probably doesn't see it this way all the time, of being a younger brother and being able to see his brother kind of go before him, have big at-bats, compete alongside his brother before he went up to PRCC. But talk about how clutch Dice has been, and it looks like that the game's just slowed down to him, and no moment's going to be too big for him. But speak to us, if you would, about how big Dice has been on the mound and in clutch at-bats.
Yes, he's he's that bulldog mentality, if you say. He's the guy we want to play. He's the guy we want on the mound. And I think surrounding places know that. I think anybody we play, they know who he is. He's just a, you know, failure is going to happen in baseball. And but he keeps coming at you, whether he fails, whether he does great. And that's why Paul River's getting him, just because of his ability, one, but just because he's got that bulldog mentality. And just an all-around just great player, great athlete.
And then a character guy, Coach, and Riley Wilson. His batting average just isn't going to blow you away, but the kind of glue stuff, the stuff that's not going to be measured by max preps. How important is a guy like that to a team that's trying to make a deep run?
Man, Riley is a selfless player. He is selfless. He dominates the average play, and he makes the extra ones, the ones in the six hole or the ones up the middle. He's one of the guys that we talk about running. Like, he gets down the baseline. He is constantly, we play on turf, but if we played on dirt, I mean, he would be the dirtiest guy on the field.
Yep.
His batting average, sure, it's not, you would look at it, but his on-base percentage is right around 450, 500. I think he's been hit 20, 21 times.
Wow.
He's walked 12 or 13 times. So he's had 33, 35 free passes. And going back to that selflessness, he's a team guy. And we wouldn't be where we were without him. He's a definite leader for us at PRC.
Coach, let's look at the staff and It's neat to see the way the arms have thrown for y'all without Johnson. Johnson was kind of the headliner before the injury, certainly committed up to Pearl River Community College, but that hadn't bothered the other guys. They've been able to throw really well. This has been a staff, we talked about the ERA already, but they've been really impressive.
Yes, they've... Like I said earlier, man, they've answered the bell. We've put freshmen out there. We've put guys that may have not had that experience, and they've answered the bell. They just didn't have the experience, and they said, you know what, I'll go out there and do it against some good teams. And, you know, one I didn't mention earlier, Bly Martina kid, he kind of has had the role of coming in and slamming the door, and he's just, he does it. He's fearless on the mound. Good stuff, and it's been really strong for us this year. He's been a huge bright spot. So, and it's kind of took everybody. That's the cool part about it. Everybody on the pitching staff, they kind of know their role, and they know what they're going to do. And it's a definite breath of fresh air to have those guys and to really be sold out to what their plan is for this team.
Coach Rogers, when you look at it, the freshmen that have contributed, I'm looking at Morrison, Morale, and then also Lee. There's a bunch of at-bats through those three freshmen in this lineup. How cool is that to see the ninth graders compete at this level?
It's a testament just of how good of ball players they are. I think that they don't let it get too big for them. They're definitely not scared. They get in there and fight you. And, you know, just like baseball with anybody, whether you're a freshman or senior, struggles will come. But, you know, through that, I've watched them, you know, they struggle. They get in the cage. 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 And then you look up and, you know, they pop out and they have a big time hit. Against the West Jones or against the Hattiesburg or, you know, just a playoff team. And it's cool to see them grow up and have that success.
Coach, you mentioned your playing days at St. Martin. For those maybe not as familiar, with your baseball journey or your coaching journey. Can you just give us a brief bio for our Talking Ball Y'all listeners to kind of catch them up to speed on you personally?
Yes. I played at St. Martin. My dad was my principal. He was in education, but I played for Greg Williams and David Marsland. Coach Kim Lee taught at St. Martin up until my ninth grade year, and then my dad moved to my dad and my mom. We moved to Lloyd Starr. He took a principal job, and I played under Jonathan Brakefield and Jay Labor at Lloyd Starr High School, and then moved on to Colan and played under Keith Case.
Coach
then
Case.
Moved on to NCAA and played under Bobby Hallford, and I got to coach with Coach Hallford for a year after my playing days.
So if you didn't learn anything from some of those names that you laid out there, Coach Roger, you certainly missed a good opportunity, right?
There's no doubt. They've been a huge part of just who I am and who what I believe in with baseball, for sure.
Coach, good luck this week. When you look at the way that this thing lays out in the bottom half and the south half of 6A, man, it's full of good teams, a lot of parity, I believe. This should be a lot of fun in the South to see who comes out to represent the South in 6A. Am I wrong in thinking that?
There's no doubt. Just be thankful you get a shot and you belong in that category that we get to coach and be in that atmosphere. It's a blessing, but you hit it on the head. I think it's wide open, and every team in it is tough, and every team is a program, and they do program stuff, and that's why they're there. So definitely will be interesting. Will be fun to get to go do it.
Coach, thank you for taking time during a busy week.
Yes, thank you.
It feels good to buy local, whether you're supporting your community's small businesses, family-owned restaurants, or Farm Bureau Insurance. The local agents at Farm Bureau Insurance are dedicated to always helping you protect what's important. Farm Bureau Insurance is headquartered right here in Mississippi with local agents in your community. If you're shopping for car, home, or life insurance in the Poplarville area, call Kate Amaker at 601-795-4585. Or if you're in the Picayune Career area, call Robert Hester, Jeremy Shesby, or me, Ross Gilbo, at 601-798-2861. And go with the home team, Mississippi Farm Bureau Casualty, Southern Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company, Jackson, Mississippi.
Standing by with head ball coach of the Picayune Maroon Tide, Evan Nicholson. And what a time of the year it is, Ev, as we are in playoff week. We've got the Hattiesburg Tigers out in front of us, round one of the 6A playoffs. We're sitting here watching your team take BP. Kind of tell us the feel for the team getting locked in and ready for this first round matchup.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a great week of practice so far. You know, you kind of got a veteran team. They kind of been through the fire a little bit. They, you know, you work all fall and all, you know, all beginning of spring for really this week. You know, this is where the new season begins. And so these guys have kind of been through it. You know, the feel of practice, I mean, it's just kind of been business as usual. Guys have showed up ready to work, and we've had a good week.
Coach, when you look at it, this group is sophomores, juniors, and now the seniors have played good playoff baseball. I think I'm fair to say that. Like, I think they've actually kind of risen to the occasion and played good playoff baseball. What do you attribute that to?
Oh, man, I'm going to be honest. I, you know, these kids, I guess their resiliency. You know, they always say a coach or of kids, you know, they kind of take on the mentality of their coaching staff, you know. And I'm going to be honest, I've kind of had my back against the wall my whole life, you know, different things sports-wise. I wasn't the best athlete, you know. Had to kind of grind and work for everything that I got. You know, not saying it's about me or anything, but our practices are that way. I mean, our practices are intense. You've been out here all day. You know, that just because it's playoff week, I mean, we're wearing pants, we're getting after it. And, you know, I think, you know, the grind and teaching, you know, next pitch, you know, you get punched in the mouth, keep grinding. And we practice that way. And I think, you know, that kind of translates to you know, back against the wall playoff baseball, you know.
Coach, it's a blessing and it's a curse. You're coaching the senior-laden team. We've already kind of talked about that in two of our first three questions, but you've got to fight against this. Hey, we've already been here type mentality. How do you get that group? And then not to be lost, I mean, you've got the juniors who are going to follow that lead. How do you get them to kind of lock in and get their attention? Hey, we lose two of our next three at any time over the next month and we're done.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's seniors. They're still kids, you know. So they'll show up kind of, you know, relaxed and kind of their mindset's not right. And if they do that, you know, we check them just like we would any other time of the year. You know, and this week coming in, we've been preaching intent in everything that we do. I mean, we want to stretch with intent, play catch with intent, take BP with intent. And, you know, there's been times this week where, hey, I had to, you know, hey, stop some things and go, hey, let's you know, where's our intent? Where was your intent on that play? You know, different things like that. So I think as long as we kind of check it, you know, at the door, you know, hey, man, look, you got 4 weeks, you know, it 4 weeks. And, you know, this is over for sure, you know. So it's pretty much survive in advance and try to play for four more weeks. And, you know, and then it's over. So you got 4 weeks to just, you know, get in here and grind and have intent in everything that we do. And, you know, the seniors, you know, they're goofballs, you know, but you kind of get on them and they lock back in. So that's kind of the way it's been this week.
Coach, when you look at a time of year like this, one thing you know what to expect is your coaching staff. When I think back, there's some continuity between this group of seniors and also your staff. Correct me if I'm wrong, looking at Coach Gatt, Coach Witten, Trenton. These guys are used to being around each other. You and your staff are used to the way that this week's supposed to look like. How comforting is that?
Oh, man, it's great. You know, these guys, they show up every day with a game plan. Gats texted me all day long, you know, different things we could do, we could try, different things about, we got Hattiesburg, different things about Hattiesburg. He's kind of our scout guy, you know, but all these guys, Coach T's going to have a plan for our guy, our pitchers, Trenton. I mean, heck, he's got a rubber arm, he's out there throwing BP. Coach Fagan, all these guys, you know, they do a great job. And you know, we've all been around these kids a while now, you know, and you know, it's just a good mix, good feeling.
Coach, you talk about being around the kids. Practice was well over yesterday, and the kids, yourself, your son, hanging around talking about fishing is bigger than baseball. Those relationships and the distraction, you mentioned it yesterday, the good distraction that something like fishing can be at a time of year like this.
Oh yeah, they're all into fishing right now, all of them. My dad's got a little pond at his house, and three or four of them was over there yesterday evening fishing. And you know, it's just, you know, I kind of like it, because you know, you can't go, you know, our goal is a state championship, and you can't go get something when you're all knotted up trying, you know. So it's kind of a loose feel, business as usual, and then, you know, lock in when it's game time.
Coach's team's been good defensively and out on the bump. Obviously, you want that to continue to make a run. What's some keys when you look at success for pitching or even defense? What's some things that when you see going good for the Tide are a couple markers of that?
Well, I think, honestly, it's just kind of, you know, making routine plays. You know, when you make routine plays, you kind of take the pressure off your arms, you know. And we preach routine, so that's what we've done all year. We've kind of made some routine, most of our routine plays, and it's kind of how, you know, allowed our arms to settle in, you know, and kind of be themselves, and it's, you know, been a recipe for success so far, and hopefully we can continue it. You know, we preach eliminate the big inning, you know, find outs. You know, we got to get 21 outs. Let's get them the best way we can, the most efficient way we can. We preach it. And I think, you know, if we can limit damage, you know, offensively, we're good enough to kind of, you know, be in the ball game when, you know, at the end.
Coach, let's talk about your offense. This is a lineup that has the potential to really be explosive. One thing that stands out for me when the Tide are really going it good, and I guess you could say this for any team, but that on-base percentage, just the guys, I kind of look at that 6 through 9, however you fill out the lineup, Are they getting on base on any good given night? Are they finding a way, I hate to say it this way, to get us back to Kyler, to get us back to Morgan Kraft? How big a part of this lineup is that bottom third?
Oh, man, they're huge. I mean, you know, Justin down there, kind of, it just seems like when he goes, we kind of, you know, when he's on base, we score. You know, Frank grinds out his at-bats. You know, his average isn't probably where he wants it to be, but, I mean, he is grinding. He's the definition of what we teach as far as grinding out your at-bats. No telling how many times a kid's been 0-2 and worked a full, either got a hit, walk, you know. So that's kind of the things we teach, and, you know, they've bought into it down there. And honestly, man, the thing about our offense that I've really been impressed with throughout the year is it's been someone different every night, it seems like. Like, you know, there's been games, you know, where, you know, Kyler's been 0-4, and then, you know, you look up and Coop's 4-4, or, you know, vice versa, or Jamie's got the big knock. Morgan might have had to get big knock that night. Petey had the big knock. Like, so it's just kind of been somebody different each night. And, you know, Brady started to come around a little bit last week, you know, and that's another big stick. We ain't had him all year. And, you know, so I honestly don't think that we have hit to our potential as far as a full game of, like, really having intent in the box for 7 innings. And, you know, I think if we can never, you know, get to that point and start clicking, you know, the sky's the limit for these guys.
Yeah, Kurt and I were trading a text, which I know that's a dangerous start to a sentence, but we were talking about just what you said there, Coach. It seems like when we're going good, we've had at least two of those guys maybe working, but we're yet to see three or four of them kind of in that groove at the same time. You're an optimistic guy. That gives me reason to be optimistic in the playoffs. I would think it would you too.
Oh yeah, I mean you want your guys to know you believe in them, and you know that you believe that we could go all the way, and you know, but at the same time, you know, you got to tell these guys, because they're kids, you know, hey, we're gonna take it one pitch at a time. You know, like I told them the other day, you know, we're going to try to win the first pitch, and I'm going to go to the second pitch. And, you know, and at the end of it, when the dust settles, we'll see where we're at. But I think we're in a good spot. You know, our guys are real loose, and they don't want to see it come to an end. So I expect them to come out and play hard and you know, we'll see where we're at when it's over.
Coach, one of the times I've heard you were on an occasion where you've not liked the way your team's performed, I hear you say too many selfish at-bats. That's one of the things that I've heard you say when we haven't played well. Mm-hmm. Give our listeners, or I'm thinking of my son in this aspect, a young ball player, a good idea of what that looks like from the bench as a head coach to deem a selfish at-bat.
Yeah, I mean, that's just something that we teach is being unselfish. We're big on quality at-bats and having team at-bats. And all it is really is, you know, taking what the pitcher gives you. You know, you, for an example, 2-0 in the count, you know, you're leading off an inning, 2-0 in the count, you swinging a ball in your eyes or ball up that you can't really do much with, and you pop up. You know, that's selfish, you know. You know, through 3-0, 3-1 count, you're swinging a ball down, you know, because you're, you know, trying to do too much. Or, you know, runner at second, no outs. You know, you just want to do a job, put a ball on the ground somewhere, move him over, make something happen. We got these big swings hitting pop-ups, you know. So that's what we call our selfish at-bats, you know. We give them bunt, and they don't get their nose down in the fight to get the bunt down. You know, and the kids understand what we're saying, what terminology. And when we buy into, you know, not being selfish, getting to first base, giving the bat to the next guy, we kind of click and go, and then the big hits do come whenever we have that kind of mentality. So they've bought into it. We'll just see if they, you know, continue to roll with it.
Coach, we talked about it on a couple of our last live streams, me and Peyton Wells and Chesby, imploring the community to get out and support this ball club. You know, we'll have the first ball game here at the Kirk on Friday night. When you go Saturday, regardless of what happens on Friday, Smokey Harrington's going to be a tough place to play. So we need to duplicate that. And I guess I'm preaching to the choir, mm-hmm. and many that's going to be listening to this podcast. But how important will it be to have a good showing here Friday night? This is a group. I'm looking at Brady Robertson in front of us, a football player. He likes that stage. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. He likes the lights. He likes to see booties in the seats when he's doing something. But you've mentioned it before. This type of team really feeds off that energy.
They do. They're energy and enthusiasm driven, man. In practice, when you see them come through the gate and they're kind of moping and kind of, being teenagers walking through, I've got to supply some enthusiasm to get them going. But once that enthusiasm is going, they're really good players, and they kind of feed off the atmosphere at home, especially. They like seeing the people in the stands and the music up, and that's just the way these kids are. I'm not necessarily that way, but I've noticed that they do feed off of each other's energy and different things like that. And Hattiesburg is a very tough place to go play. So as many people as we can get to travel, that's definitely going to be great. These guys have worked so hard there's seven seniors on this team, and then, you got all those juniors that's played a lot of baseball, and, they've worked hard for, 3-4 years to get to the point to have an opportunity to go win a state championship. It's been a little while since this place has, been to a South State, state championship, and this team's capable. We got to take it one game at a time and one pitch at a time, and stay locked in. But there's a lot to be excited about this group. As many people as we can get out here, the better off we'll be.
Absolutely, thank you, Coach.